listening to the CCA Podcast.
God always has something in mind when we come together. I've told you this before, but my dad, he was a professor at Northwest University and taught generations of students. And he would go to chapel every day because chapel was a part of the everyday experience at Northwest back then when he was a professor. And he would go every single day. And he went to thousands, literally thousands of chapel services. And, you know, some of them were definitely better than others. Some were, definitely subpar. And not every professor went because they would have they would have studying prep to do for their class that was coming up. But my dad always made a point of going. And sometimes the students would say, well, now, Dr. Dan, why, you know, you've heard this stuff a million times. Why do you come? And his answer was always this: I always want to be there because I never know what God might say to me in that particular service. And I don't want to miss it. He's always got something that he wants to reveal to us, that he wants to show us, that he wants to speak to us. And we never know. And that's the exciting thing about walking with the Lord. It's like we're always on the verge of something new. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that our hearts would be open to what you want to share with us. And surprise us, we pray. Amen. Just before I speak, I want to make two invitations. One is that there's a newcomer's lunch immediately following the service today, and we've got plenty of food. So if you didn't sign up, but you've been coming here maybe in just the last several months, you haven't had a chance to connect with all the pastors and just kind of hang out. It's our way of getting to know who you are, hearing your story, telling you a little bit about our story, about why we're here. It only lasts a little over an hour, but we've got plenty of food right out here in the conference room, so come and join us, okay? So if you've been coming in the last few months, never have been to a newcomer's lunch before, or if you're just here for the first time today, come. It's free food. And the Seahawks game doesn't start till tonight, so you got all the time in the world. The other thing is that tonight, if you do have your Seahawks game and it's already recorded and everything, then you're good, because there's a concert. Eric Neifel, he grew up in this church. He did worship here about a month ago. Great job. Well, he recorded a new worship album and he's really excited about it. And he's doing a concert here tonight at 6. Along with Bino and Chelsea, our own Mr. and Mrs. Something. And so you're really, it'd be a delight if you'd come back and just be a part of that. And it'll be a cool worship concert where Eric is introducing his new album. Well, we've been talking about the fact that the Lord is bringing times of refreshing. So our theme verse is Acts 3:19, repent therefore and turn to the Lord so that your sins might be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And our prayer has been, Lord, let us enter into that time of refreshing. Fill us, make your presence known and let your Holy Spirit work in us. And today I'd like to talk about kind of continuing along the pathway that Pastor Tim started us out on last week in terms of what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. The fact is that the Holy Spirit leads us. He directs us. That's a huge part of what he wants to do. We are not meant to go through life just simply willy-nilly, just kind of like sliding here and sliding there. No, it's purposeful. It's directed. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us real direction. He doesn't want us to be on our own. And so I'd just like to talk about what that means, what that looks like to be led and guided by the Spirit of the Lord. And so five main points. The first is this. We live in the incredibly vibrant age of the Spirit. Something new happened when Jesus came and the Spirit of God began to work and blow among God's people. The fact is that the Spirit indwells everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit indwells everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. It's not like a special deal for special people. It's not only for Pentecostals and the like. It's not only for people who are, part of our particular denomination. Actually, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, then turn to your neighbor right now and say, you know what? I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But I want you to know something else. Most of the time where the Scripture talks about us being a temple of the Holy Spirit is in plural. So it's not just that I individually am a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we come together, he delights to dwell amongst us. Romans 8:9 says this, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." It's not optional. It's not a choice that we can make or not make. It's if we come to Christ and ask Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in us. And he wants to actually indwell every part of our lives. This morning during our Belonging 101 class, we were talking about the fact that there's Pastor Munger who used to pastor actually here at UPC way back in the day. He wrote a sermon called My Heart, Christ's Home, in which he talks about how Christ wants to come and how the Holy Spirit wants to come and indwell every room in our house. And so he comes into the living room, and we're kind of comfortable with that because the living room's kind of set up pretty well, and so it's nice to have Christ in our living room. But then he says, well, you know, actually, I'd like to go into the bedroom too. And it's like, the bedroom, Lord? Well, yeah. You know, not all my thoughts are really clean in the bedroom necessarily, you know. And so, no, I want to go into the bedroom, you know. And then, what about that basement? No! You know. And the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells every part of our life. You know, I was just thinking about that as we were celebrating communion, how the reality is how imperfect we are. How imperfect we are. You know, and we can stand up here and we can sing in the choir and we can smile and you know, I will praise him with all of my heart. And inside I'm thinking about that junk that's going on. And he comes to us, imperfect though we are, and indwells every room. and begins his cleansing work. So the Holy Spirit, he indwells everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The second thing is this: the Holy Spirit is our source of assurance. Because of him, we have confidence that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit is our source of assurance. We need assurance because we are aware of our own grittiness. We desperately need it. You know, it was very interesting. My mom, one time before she passed away, I was talking with her, and there was an older woman in the church that I dearly loved. And she was like a grandma to me. And my mom was saying, yeah, I've been talking with her, and I've been praying with her a lot lately because she's so worried about her salvation. She's so concerned about whether she's going to get to heaven or not. And I thought, whoa, not her. How could that be? And it just reminded me of the fact that, see, what does Satan come to do? To steal, to kill, and destroy. And he is even someone who's walked with Jesus all of their lives. They can get to that place where they're just before they're ready to go through the door, and Satan is still attacking, and he's still trying to steal away their sense of assurance and their sense of confidence. We've got to have that sense of confidence. Where does it come from? Well, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And those of you who know a little bit about the Scripture realize that Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy, for papa. And it's such an intimate word. It's the word that Jesus used to refer to his father when he would speak in Aramaic. And so Paul doesn't even translate it. He keeps it in the original. Papa. Abba. The Spirit is the one who cries out, oh, Papa. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do we need assurance? Absolutely. Who brings it? It's the Holy Spirit who cries out, Papa. And so our confidence that we belong to him comes through the Spirit. Another verse that kind of reiterates that is from Jesus in John when he's talking with Nicodemus, and he says, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit that he gave us. The work of the Spirit is so essential to our confidence. And if you're here this morning and there's a sense of doubt or sense of question, just stand firm in the fact that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And the Spirit of God is crying out, oh, Papa, and let him cry out in you. The third thing is this: the Holy Spirit is our source of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Because of him, we can walk with confidence. See, he gives us knowledge. He gives us understanding and wisdom. And we're called, this Christian journey is a walk. It's very clearly a walk with God. And we can walk in confidence because of the Spirit's work in our hearts. And I'm going to list a number of scriptures here, and we'll just kind of run through them. The first is Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Some have referred to that as like this dance with the Spirit, keeping in step with him. And I wish I had steps, but I wish General was still here. Remember General? Oh, man. Woo! When he would dance, that was amazing. Anyway, keeping in step with the Spirit is what our lifelong calling is. And so, how does that happen? Well, John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is in this process of reminding us of what Jesus has spoken. And Jesus himself, he said, hey, there's going to be times when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, and do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been sharing with a friend about Jesus and about who he is and about what he does? And it's like it's like all of a sudden an idea comes into your head about how you could present it. And it's like, well, you know, it's like this. And you begin to talk and it's like, and a second later you go, wow, that was pretty good. That was really insightful. You know, that just hit the nail on the head. Well, that wasn't you. That wasn't your wisdom and expertise. That was the Spirit of God working in you. That's what happens. He gives us those ideas. He brings them into our mind. Isn't that cool? Another passage. A prayer from the Apostle Paul. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You see, it's the work of the Spirit for us to know him. The Spirit, in fact, is the one who illuminates this word. He inspired it to be written in the first place, and then he illuminates it to our heart. Illuminate means he shines his light on it, and it makes sense to us. And so the Apostle Paul very naturally says, man, I'm praying that the Spirit of God will give you that you'll have the spirit of revelation and understanding so that you can know God better. He keeps waking us up to the Spirit and what he, or to Jesus. The Spirit wakes us up to who God is. Similar kind of passage in Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with what? With the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. To fill you with knowledge of his will, with the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So we're not gonna get this apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's appropriate to pray, oh Lord, open up my mind, and to pray for one another, to pray, God, reveal your purpose, reveal your will. Now, a lot of times in our walk with God, in this dance in the Spirit, we come upon circumstances where we just don't know how to go forward. A lot of times that comes because we have limited information. Are you ever in a situation where it's like you have to make a decision, but you're having to make a decision based on very limited information? I remember very clearly being in this kind of circumstance with my mom. So we had a year here at home, and it was a great year. My mom had suffered from lupus for many years, and she'd had her ups and downs, and she'd had some really tough times where we thought we were going to lose her. But we came home from Germany for a year, and she kind of brightened up and gained strength, and she was pretty strong, and it was really cool, and it was a great year. And then in May, Karen and I had to go down to California to do a series of services, And then in August, we were going to leave and go back to Germany. And it was like during that month of May while we were gone, my mom just went downhill. It's like, oh man, we got back in June and my mom wasn't able to care for herself anymore. So then it's like, oh man, Lord, we're supposed to leave in August. My mom's not even able to take care of herself. What do we do? And we're having to make these decisions. You know, we're wanting to be in step with the Spirit and respond appropriately and walk the right walk. But it's like, but we don't know what's going to happen. So we're praying and Karen came alongside of my mom and you know, for several weeks was like a caregiver and I served as a caregiver and so we got to the point, okay, we're supposed to leave in August. We thought, well, we're not really ready for that, so we put off the flight for like 3 weeks and to try to get it settled. And we began to realize, okay, this is not going to work. We've got to get a caretaker. So we hired a caretaker to come in and take care of my mom basically 5 days a week. So we did that and it seemed like it was going to be okay. And so we're getting ready to go, getting stuff packed, getting ready to go to Germany. And then it's like she took another downturn. It's like, oh man, you know, Lord, what do we do? Are we supposed to go? Are we supposed to stay? We're having to make these decisions based on limited information. You can you identify with that? Where you don't know a lot, but you want to make the right choice. And so we started looking at adult family homes. And then we finally decided, okay, there's an adult family home, and we're going to move my mom into that. And so in the meantime, it got complicated. We'd put off our flight another 3 weeks. So now we weren't leaving in September. Now we were leaving in October. And so we kept pushing it off, but it seemed like the right thing. And then we got her into the adult family home, and it's like, okay, this feels right. Felt a little funny. You know how that is. This is the first time my mom's living outside of her own home. And that adult family home was not like home for her. And we sensed a little bit of that inner tension. But it's like, no, this is the right thing. This is okay. So now it's like full bore ahead, go. You know, we had to pack up all, get our stuff last minute all together and get ready to go. And we worked all through the night, two nights, which is very typical for me, unfortunately. Like last minute, throwing everything together. Got it all in the truck, got Murphy in there, our dog, in his big crate, and got down to the airport. And Al, our friend, dropped us off at the airport and took off. And we're sitting there and we're like, okay, mom's in the adult family home. We're here. We got everything together. We got all out of our house. We're ready to go. And we're standing in line and we're checking in. We're all checked in. And then the attendant looks down and sees the crate there with Murphy in it and says, well, you know, I see you have a dog here with you. And we said, yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, he's registered. They said, no, he's not. We don't have him on there. And it's like, well, you're supposed to have him on there. And, you know, well, we don't. And you're flying through London. And London is extremely strict in regards to what they do with pets. And there's no way that you're going through London right now to get to Germany. And we're like, well, when can we get there? And they're saying, well, London needs at least a week advance notice. And we're like, what? You know. And so, so then I call up my friend Al. He drives back down through the traffic to the airport, picks up all our stuff, loads it all in, drives us back. We go back to our house, which I had not canceled the telephone yet from our house. And so we go back to the house, which was going to be rented out. I pick up the phone and listen, and there's a message that's from hospice saying, you know what? We visited your mom, because hospice had been involved. We visited your mom at the adult family home, And you know, some of the pain issues she's dealing with, we really feel like they're pretty severe, and we need to take her into the hospice center. And so we thought, okay, They took her into the hospice center, and she died 4 days later. And the, you know, the amazing thing is that all along, God was guiding our steps, helping us to make decisions based on limited information, but to make the right ones. And when we finally made the one that was going to be kind of screw it all up, he stopped us through Murphy. The dog stopped us. It's kind of like Pastor Tim was talking about last week. God can speak through the mouth of a donkey. In this case, he spoke through Murphy. And we got to be there for my mom. Rather than being in Germany all frustrated about the circumstances, and we were able to be there to accompany her into eternity. That's the way the Spirit of God works. He guides us. He directs us in this dance. And we can walk with confidence. The fourth thing. The Holy Spirit is the great leveler. He makes his gifts available to all, regardless of sex, age, or ethnicity. He's the great leveler. He levels the playing field. His gifts are available to all. I love that. The scripture says, and afterward, the prophet Joel speaking, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. The cool thing is that, see, the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit gives out are not dependent upon maturity. They're not even dependent upon spiritual maturity or emotional maturity. The Holy Spirit levels them out. And that, you know, I'm looking around. Jack, would you be willing to come up here? Jack, just, I'm going to ask you to give a message in tongues. Come on up. So Jack's a senior in high school. Yeah, just come on up here and stand with me. And Jerry, you're the old man in front. Why don't you come here too, okay? So the scripture says, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters. I probably need a daughter up here. Steph, come on up, okay? You're the daughter. Okay, we're going to get them all here. So, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Sometimes we differentiate and we say, well, yeah, the old men, they're the dreamers. They dream. That's not what the scripture means at all. Dreaming dreams was a way of hearing the voice of the Spirit, an accepted way of hearing the voice of the Spirit, as was prophecy. They're similar, they're on the same par with each other, on the same level with each other. Basically, old men are going to be used by the Spirit to speak the Word of God. They're going to dream dreams that they share with others. And the young men are going to see visions. Dreaming dreams and seeing visions are similar to each other, and both sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Basically, it's saying you're all going to be used to help The rest of us understand what God is saying. You're all going to be used to reveal the purposes of God. And you're all on one level. And Jerry, you've lived a ton longer than Jack. But that doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit, he can speak right to Jack. And even though Jack is not as mature as you are, still the Spirit of God is no respecter of persons in that regard, and he gives his gifts to everyone, regardless of whether they're male or female, regardless of whether they're young or old, and regardless of ethnicity. We got all Caucasians here. I should have, yeah. Own them? No, okay. Yeah. Okay, you can sit down. Although, if you do have a word, share it. No, I'm okay. The final thing is that the gifts that the Spirit gives us, make the supernatural natural. They are gifts for the street as well as the sanctuary. The gifts that the Spirit gives us make the supernatural natural. They are gifts for the street as well as for the sanctuary. The gifts of the Spirit are not just designed to be practiced in the context of the church when it comes together. They're given to us to minister, to have impact on people's lives outside of this context. They're for the street. Just a reminder, we read this a couple weeks ago, just want to read it again. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. What we see is that what's happening is that the Spirit of God is making these gifts available to us so that we can walk like Christ. All of these ministry gifts of the Spirit were manifest in the life of Christ. Words of knowledge and words of wisdom. One of the things we have to remember about Jesus is that when He came to earth, the incarnation, when He became the incarnate Word among us, He laid aside His prerogatives to exercise His deity. So He laid aside His omniscience, knowing everything, and His omnipresence, being everywhere, and His omnipotence, His almighty power. He laid those things aside. But then He would practice the ministry through the power of the Spirit in ways that are now, after Jesus ascended into heaven, are given to us. So Jesus would practice a word of knowledge. Classic example is Philip is called by Jesus to be a follower, and Philip goes and gets Nathanael and says, "Hey, Nathanael, I found the one. I think he's the Messiah." And it's Jesus from Nazareth, and Philip is going, "You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come on, that's backwater place. You know, that couldn't be." And so, but he comes along, and Jesus looks at Nathanael and he says, "Well, here comes a true Israelite in whom is no guile." And Nathanael's like, "Whoa, you don't even know me." And he says, "Well, you know what? Even before Philip talked to you, when you were standing under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael's like, "Woo, do, 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 do. Okay. Well, you must be the Son of God." And Jesus says, "You think that's something? That's nothing. You, You're going to see a lot more than that. Well, see, what God is now doing by the Spirit of God is giving us those same gifts so that when it comes to walking with Jesus and walking like Jesus, those gifts are available to us. So the gift of knowledge, for example, that's knowing something that we could not have known otherwise, supernaturally. There are parts of the gift of knowledge that happen all the time. I think if we're just aware of it, we're praying for someone and we've laid hands on them and all of a sudden a word comes into our mind, like anxiety. And we say, well, wow, could that be? Well, sometimes in a step of faith, in a step of believing that this is what the Spirit is saying, we'll pray. We'll continue to pray for that person and pray, Lord, I sense that this person has anxiety, and maybe God will even show us about what it is, about family. This anxiety about family. And we pray, Lord, just help them with the anxiety they're feeling right now about family. Well, what is that? Well, that's a gift of knowledge. God's using, he's given it to us to help us to pray more effectively, to walk like Jesus walked. I've told you this story before that, and you probably get, some of you are maybe tired of hearing it, but John Wimber, I still remember hearing him a couple times telling the story about being on the airplane, and he's really tired, and just like, oh, I don't really want to interact with anybody. And he's looking at the guy next to him on the plane. And he looks and on the guy's head is written a name. Can't remember what it was. Cynthia, And so he sees very clearly written on the guy's forehead, Cynthia. He's like, oh, he's not really wanting to interact with the guy. But finally he turns to him and he says, excuse me, but does the name Cynthia mean anything to you? And the guy goes ashen, and he kind of hunkers down. And as it turns out, Cynthia is the woman he's having an affair with, and he's right now presently considering leaving his wife and moving in with Cynthia. And John continues to minister to him, and the guy repents, accepts Jesus. And is reconciled to his wife. It's like, whoa, that's the kind of word of knowledge I would love to experience, Right? I mean, don't you want to, it's like, oh, Jesus. But, John Wimber didn't get there just from 0 to 60. Boom. He was walking with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, carefully honing this gift of knowledge. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to give us the gifts in order that we can walk like Jesus walked. And so I'd like the worship team to come up, and I'd like us to just simply search our own hearts and ask God to grant us the gifts that He wants to so freely give. A lot of times it's going to be baby steps. A lot of times, I mean, it's not going to be from 0 to 60. I don't think we're going to necessarily, ask God to give us a word of knowledge and we're going to see a name written on someone's forehead. But I have experienced over and over again where God has given me a word for a particular situation. One time I was praying for a brother and I just felt like God gave me the faith to pray. In that moment I said, Andrew, I'm praying for you that you are going to meet the spouse that God has for you within this next year, and you're going to know it. The knowing it was the important part. Not just meeting her, but knowing it. And it was about a year and a half later that I had the privilege of marrying, performing the marriage ceremony of Andrew and Teresa. And I'm not saying that it was my prayer that made the difference, but God gave me that, just the word of faith and the word of knowledge at that moment, that that was the right prayer at that time. And it really encouraged Andrew and helped him to respond to his circumstances a little differently. And that's what God wants to do with us. And so I'd like for us to pray a prayer, and it's going to be up on the screen, but it's also on the back of your printed handout. And I'd actually like you to pray it not just today, but to pray it each day this week. To make it a daily prayer. This is a prayer of Æthelwald, who was the bishop of Winchester in the end of toward the end of the first millennium. And it goes like this. Let's pray it together. Let's pray it out loud. May God the Father bless us. May Christ take care of us. The Holy Ghost enlighten us all the days of our life. The Lord be our defender and keeper of body and soul, both now and forever, to the ages of ages. Let's just pray it again. May God the Father bless us. May Christ take care of us. The Holy Ghost enlighten us all the days of our life. The Lord be our defender and keeper of body and soul, both now and forever, to the ages of ages.